We're in a series that we've titled Aligning Our Hearts with God. And we've been looking at different aspects of our life and saying, how do we bring that into focus with who God is? And recent days I had what was for me was a really helpful illustration for this sermon series. I went to the eye doctor, and among the tests that the doctor performed on me is he did some for astigmatism. And I said, what is that? And he said, basically it's, you know, for the layman, it's when our eyes don't focus at the same place. So the result might be we see fuzzy or double or things. And then he did these funny tests. He put those, you know, crazy ocular things in front of me, and he said, tell me when the box is, click, just hit the click. All right, anyways, tell me when the boxes get over each other. And then he did it again, and he said, tell me when the boxes are parallel with each other. And if you just try just the click button, it's going to the next slide. It's not doing what it's supposed to. Hey, all right. Now go to the next one. And click it. All right. Now the illustration for us is aligning our lives with God's Word. If one of those boxes was God or God's Word, and I picked the phrase God's Word in particular, because the generic word for God can mean so many different things to people. It can mean virtually anything in our world. But if we believe that God's Word is God's perfect self-revelation to human beings, it is His description of who God is. It is God's perfect description of what God wants us to know about who He is, and also how God wants us to live our lives. Then it's not so much the two boxes moving, but it's the one box aligning with God. Now, try the click and let's see if it works. There we go. Look at that. And that's kind of what our life following God is like. Box one is ourselves. And we need to align ourselves with God's Word. But if you remember the little path, it's kind of a squiggly path, and sometimes we get closer and sometimes we drift away, because it's ours to move, not God's. He is already perfect. And sometimes we get closer, and sometimes we overshoot the mark, and sometimes we fall back. And if you notice, the two boxes aren't perfectly aligned. They're close. Because I think that's the ideal, is that we can move closer and closer to the way God wants us to live. But this side of eternity, we're never going to get quite there. So we're talking about aligning ourselves with God. And this morning, I want us to think about that in terms, you can go to the next slide, of the 24/7, 365 aspect of our life. See, it's not just aligning, you know, our church life when we come in to worship and we look good. It's all the time. And so to begin, I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a couple moments as I ask you two questions, and I want you to make a mental list of your answers to these questions. And there's the first one. I want you to make a mental list of the three or four primary facets of your life. Now, when I thought about it, I thought about things like my family life, my work life, you know, and my roles as husband, father, you know, and pastor. But I don't know what you would put on your list. What are the three or four primary areas of your life? You know, and just make that mental list. Another way to think about it, and it might create a slightly different list, would be a second question, which is, think of the three or four parts of your life that consume the most hours of your being, aside from sleep. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, some of them are the same. Family life is similar. Work life is similar. But then I began to think about it. You know, I spend 3 to 5 hours a week at the gym. If I were to have done this last year, because last year at this time, I was spending 12 to 15 hours a week going to wrestling matches. You know, it changes. What consumes your time? Where do you put your time? Now, I want you to hold those two lists. You can mash them together if you want. Just hold them kind of in the front of your thoughts as we read a portion of God's Word from Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 15 through chapter 4, verse 1. And just listen along. If you bring a Bible, it's really a great thing to open it up to that passage. Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ..." Notice that, the Word of Christ. "Dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And now we pick some particular areas to mention. "Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eyes are on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide for your slaves what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." Now, Paul is providing the church in Colossae with some instructions on how to align various parts of their life with God and His Word. And I want us to just focus on two sentences from that passage I read, because I believe those sentences capture the essence of Paul's entire, you know, instruction to the people. The first is one verse. It's verse 17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And the second sentence is really quite similar. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." Now let's Let's look at that first sentence for a moment. Let me highlight a couple words. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, we're to align our lives with God and His Word. You know, that's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, you know, 365-day a year calling. How we talk, how we act in all the arenas of our life matters. If you can still access them, pull up that list you made. Think of those primary areas of life or those places where you spend most of your time. Husband, father, pastor, work, gym, you know, those kinds of things. In all of those arenas, you and I need to be constantly aligning our words, how we speak with other people, and how we act towards other people, and how we act in general with the way God would have us speak and God would have us act. Rummage through your list for a moment. How's your alignment? Need to send your life into the shop and, you know, get it trued up a bit? If you had your Bibles open on your laps, I would say we need to look at the greater context of chapter 3. Zoom out our look and not just these verses, but widen it just a little bit, because we would find out that Paul has already spoken some words that address both our actions and our words to the people of Colossae. And I took the liberty of putting them up there for you. So first, our actions. Paul already has told them, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. How would God have us acting towards all the other people that come through our lives? Whether it's our work life and it's the people who are our bosses and we report to, or the people who report to us, or those who are our co-workers. If we work in a large building, and the large building has a cleaning staff, and so every day there's, you know, this fellow who's a janitor cleaning here, there's a woman who's washing there, all of these people cross our lives. How are we to act towards all of those people? Well, you can read it. With compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, patience, forgiving, putting on love. That's to be aligned with God in our actions. How's your alignment? Are there particular people, or are there particular groups of people who show your alignments a little more out of whack towards them than towards others? What are you going to do to align your lives? Haven't asked her name yet. But it seems every day I leave the gym, there's a woman and she's cleaning the railing. The gym I go to has about, 9,000 steps from where you enter. It's a basement gym. And she is either hand wiping the stairs or she's wiping the rail and the glass panels below it. And it's her job. And so far I just say, hey, how you doing? Thanks for doing that. I haven't asked her name yet. But how do I treat those people who are otherwise anonymous in our world that we can walk by without giving a thought to? It doesn't take any more time in my day to say, hey, have a nice day. I don't have to slow down. But what does that say about my alignment with God? Now, I don't do that all the time. There's plenty of places I need to work, but the point is, how are you handling that? How do you handle that person that reports to you who, they do need some correction, they need some straightening out. But we all know there's different ways you can do that. Would this kind of characterize even your inner self as you deal with those hard people in your life? It's not an excuse not to deal with someone if they have to be dealt with. It's a manner of how we go about doing that. And it says, whether in word or deed. Well, we looked at the deed part. What about the word part? Paul has said something to this group of believers already about that. And just the verses right before this. Next slide. But now, Paul says, you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices. And I could go on. Now, go back to that one, please. Notice how many of those characteristics actually have to do with our lips, our talk. I mean, anger can be physical, but more times than it's physical, it's verbal. Slander. Saying things about people that aren't really true. To cut them down a bit. And usually we don't slander a person to their name. We slander a person in some other arena. Now, legally it has to do when we write things about them and say things on, the networks and stuff like that. But it means to say untrue things really about someone to other people. Man, do you know about Angelo? I mean, it's that kind of stuff. Sorry, buddy. God says, control your lips. Watch what you say about other people. Filthy language. Now, God in places tells us, not to use the Lord's name in vain. That's a curse. That's when we would, say. A lot of the language in our world aren't curses in the biblical form, meaning using God's name in vain. But they are filthy language. Do we find that we have to use that in our work environment? I know people, and I'm a pastor. I am not perfect. People think somehow we're different than the world. We're really human beings who happen to have a calling. For years, I golfed with a pastor buddy of mine every Monday because the golf course in Pennsylvania had Pastor Free Day. And it was always fun, except by about the sixth hole, the guys they would pair us up with would get around to that proverbial question, so what do you do? Oh, we're pastors. We'd never see them again. Man, they would hit that ball and they'd hide. And then they'd say something colorful and they'd go, pardon my French. I felt like first of all, why are you making fun of the French? But second of all, you don't think I've ever heard that? Come on. But God still isn't honored by that kind of language. You know? And filthy language can be how we talk about other people as well. It might not be using those four-letter words, but it could be the innuendo we use to talk about other people. And I've heard an awful lot of guys talk filthily with or without four-letter words about particular women. And guys, that does not align with the way God would have us talk about anyone. God's asking us to align our lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year with what He has given to us as instruction. Our entire life is to be placed in obedience to God. Now, we all have work to do. And some of you are closer, you know, to the God box than others. Some of you are a lot closer than I am. But it's not about where you are. You know, for me, it's about where I am. What do I have to do to become more aligned with the way God would have me live? And then there's the second word. Okay? Whatever you did, that was right. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that we will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now that word comes out of Paul's comments to slaves. But if you read the context, it applies not really just to the slaves, it would apply to the master as well. I think a fair way to look at that word is Paul's talking about that area of our life which most of us would call work. What we do to earn a living or how we use big chunks of our life, because not all of us get paid for our work. But how are we to approach work? And we're going to give a lot of hours to work, most of us, in our lives. You know, it's probably the biggest chunk of our life. How are we to do it? Well, he says, work at it with all your heart. Give your best to it. Really. Give your best to it. You might be a doctor or a pipe fitter. You might be an investment banker or a student, a mom, a volunteer. You might work full-time, way over full-time. You might work part-time. You might be paid or unpaid. What's God alignment structure? He says, work at it with all your heart. Give it your best. Your best. But please don't stop reading there. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. It's not simply enough to give it our best. We are to work as if God was our boss. And that implies a manner of how we work. We are to work in a way that pleases our boss, God, first and foremost. And for a lot of us, that has a tremendous impact in our areas of work. Why? Because a lot of things in the work world can be shady, can dance on that edge. And I think God's saying with those words, as working for the Lord, that when we are in our world where God isn't our physical boss, we have to remember things like doing things legally, doing things honorably, doing things and working ethically and morally. And those might not always align with how things happen in our particular industry. But what we have to remember is ultimately we work not simply for the men who are over us or women who are over us, but for the Lord. And that puts some of us in tough positions. I understand that. But isn't that what it means to align with God? So I invite you to sit for a couple moments with your lists. How's your God alignment? At work, at home, in your areas of play or extended family relationships or wherever you put your time. How are your words and your actions? When you work, are you a representative of God? Would He be pleased? And just to clue us in, this is not only about us and our lives. There's a component to this that has to do with God's kingdom and God's reign in this world. Because people are watching you. People are watching the way we live. And they're making judgments about the church and about God and about Jesus by watching how we represent the church and God and Jesus. Close with a poem I found years ago called The Gospel According to You. You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day. By the deeds that you do, by the words you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is this gospel according to you? Men read and admire the gospel of Christ, with its love so unfailing and true. But what do they think of the gospel according to you? 'Tis a wonderful story, this gospel of love, as it shines in the Christ life divine. And oh, that its truth might be told again in the story of your life and mine. You are writing a chapter each day to men. Take care that your writing is true. 'Tis the only gospel some men will read, this gospel according to you. We've set aside a few moments now for us to spend some time in reflection and confession in that quiet time where we sit and let God take my kind of generic words and speak them to you as God knows best in your life or in mine. And so I invite you to a few moments of quiet reflection, to any confession that might be necessary following that time, and then after a few minutes we'll move to our offering. But just sit with the Lord for a moment. Lord God, I pray that You would speak with us about our alignment with You. Lord, what areas do we need to bring into adjustment so that it aligns with You and Your Word? Lord, I pray You would speak to each of us. Lord, where we are out of alignment, I pray for honesty to admit that to You, to seek Your forgiveness, and to seek the strength to repent and turn and live in Your newness. So Lord, hear our confession, I pray, and pour out your forgiveness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.